the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Los Angeles Lakers champion Casey Lawrence.
It's Sunday, October 11, 2020. The game just ended. Game 6 of the 2020 NBA Finals, and your Los Angeles Lakers are the 2020 NBA champions.
We did it. We did it.
We did it. The bubble is over. I believe they'll spend one more night in the bubble, and then probably tomorrow. Although, I wonder if some players are just like, I like it. You know what? I'm just going to rent this room for the rest of my life. I'm just going to live here.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. I feel good about that. I feel good about the way that the Lakers are going to take our championship and live in Las Vegas. I almost said Las Vegas. I'm too excited.
Well, because it felt like Summer League.
Yeah, it did.
a return to the Lakers to the championship, a return to some people to championship winnings. What a weird way to phrase that. LeBron James winning his fourth finals MVP. Rajon Rondo winning a championship with the Celtics and with the Lakers.
Only the second player to ever have done that.
Who was first?
It was in my text chat earlier today.
Danny Green winning two championships in a row as a starter for two different teams.
Yeah. Clyde Lovelett.
Clyde Lovelett, jeez.
Yeah, from Minneapolis.
And by the way, Rajon Rondo, tonight probably the third best player on the team?
Yeah, him or KCP.
The proverbial
KCP was really good.
The proverbial mythical third man.
Yeah.
That's what Orson Welles movie, The Third Man, is about.
Can we even maybe talk about how the third best player was Alex Caruso?
Sure.
Because here's the thing.
We know who it isn't.
yeah, Rajon Rondo, Caruso, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope all had really good games today.
Yeah. And you know what? I forgot what were my dice rolls from the other day. The dice rolls kind of turned out right, basically.
they did.
Except I think I rolled a high for Kuzma.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah, the Lakers got their 17th championship. They have now tied the Boston Celtics for the most championships in league history. And well, actually, I'd say it's actually pretty. It's a pretty good race to see who gets number 18. I think.
Yes.
I don't know how this bubble performance will play out going forward. I don't know if this was a very fortunate window for LeBron to grab his fourth title, or is this the start of, you know, many good things to come. What'd you think of the game, Casey?
Oh, it was so fun watching the Lakers dominate on the defensive end. They played such fantastic defense and then had such fantastic transition offense out of it. It was a wild, wild game to watch how scared they were of Anthony Davis around the basket. That was great. It felt so good. I loved it.
LeBron won the finals MVP, and I think sort of rightly so. But I think that's – for as good a series as Anthony Davis had, I think he really dominated defensively.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that would not necessarily show up on the stat sheet. Because I think he ended up having, what, like three blocks, something like that? But he was very, very – he was altering shots and not even altering shots. He had two?
Yeah, he had two blocks.
It felt like he had more.
Yeah.
He was altering shots in the sense of he was altering the flow of the offense.
Yeah.
So not even like changing someone's shot, preventing them from even going into the lane at all. Yep. That's it's almost like the cornerback from football where he's so good that they just don't throw it, they don't target his receiver ever.
Yeah.
That's how it felt.
Some might say Waiter's Island.
What's Waiter's Island?
Waiter's Island is the joke that he's Bill Simmons used to say that he was like the only one who believed in Dion Waiters. And then Revis Island was the island that the receivers would go to against Darrell Revis.
Right.
So
Anthony Davis put the entire Miami Heat offense on to Davis Island.
Davis Island. That's where the Easter Island heads are, right? off the dais?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so too.
How much of this was Lakers dominance versus Miami Heat offense coming back down to earth?
So I think a lot of it was Lakers dominance, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think there was some back down to earth for the Miami Heat. People like Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero had just a miserable game. Mm-hmm. Just miserable game. It's funny. He basically led the team in plus minus.
Mm-hmm.
But he was absolutely ineffective out there. Just an absolute shit show of a game for Tyler Hero, which is fine because he's 20.
Yeah. if you were to pay attention to Heat social media, this game was entirely lost by Bam Adebayo.
It's interesting.
I don't know that that's true. Now, his stats are very misleading because he's the leading scorer for the game, but the entire second half almost was garbage time.
It really, truly was. That first half was a clinic on how to play. I mean, even the third quarter for parts of it were part of that clinic.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that, Jimmy Butler... I just think the narrative from this finals now is that Jimmy Butler had a great series, mm-hmm. and that he played almost all of the minutes available for him to play, yeah. and that he was just gassed and couldn't bring it in the last game. I will say that it
felt like that tonight. It did feel like that.
It did feel like that. But I will also say that LeBron played a great game five as well, mm-hmm. and played a very good game six.
Yeah.
If you look at Jimmy Butler's actual contribution to the game, it was a subpar game for a number one option on your team.
Mm-hmm.
So
right, and that happens, right? That just happens for players. There is one player who that doesn't happen for, and his name is LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right, or if it does happen for him, it happens so less often.
I would say the players it doesn't happen for are LeBron James. I would put Kevin Durant in that category, and I would, as much as I hate him, I would put James Harden in that category.
James Harden does have some of those shit games though.
But it's sort of like what I talked about around game one or two of this series, where I feel that Jimmy Butler is a very good second tier star in the league, mm-hmm. but like his floor and his ceiling are just a tier lower than LeBron's, Durant's, or Harden's.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because if LeBron had a 12-point game in a finals and lost, it's weird because I am starting to see some of the Cavaliers' perspective about like he would be ripped. It wouldn't matter I don't remember what his games were like at the end of some of those Warriors series, but if he ended a Warriors series with 12 points,
yeah,
I don't think that he would have been cut the same slack.
Yeah, I completely agree. What's the lowest number of points LeBron scored this year?
In the whole regular season?
The whole regular season, postseason, everything.
Ooh, I'm going to say 13.
It was 10.
Okay.
The least amount of points he scored was 10, and it was in the first round against the Portland Trailblazers.
There you go.
And they won that game by 30 points.
Jeez. Well, so he probably scored 10 because how many minutes did he play?
He played 27. Oh, Jesus. But he also shot like shit. He had a bunch of turnovers. It was not a good game. I think that was the game that Anthony Davis scored 40-some points. Or he scored 31 points.
If he was playing a bad game and it was a close game, he would have played 32, 35 minutes and gotten... If he continued to play bad, he would have scored.
Let me give you some
fun storylines from this Lakers championship. I realized a couple of things today that... it makes me feel good in a number of ways. One, the triumph of Genie Bus over Jim Bus.
Oh, yeah.
It's very satisfying.
Oh, I love that.
Love that. I love how Jim Bus was just not good at that job. And then Genie pulled her claws or whatever the thing was, where she was like, you had your window and now I'm taking over. And to have her work justified is very satisfying.
Yes, very, very satisfying.
I just really like Genie. I feel good about Genie at the top of the organization as a fan.
Yeah,
to be like somebody that we root for, to be a woman in that position. It's just very satisfying that way.
It absolutely is. Because, you know, it mostly feels like she's got, like, also it seems like she really cares about the team and the city and the league.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Sometimes it can feel like these owners, like, I don't know, maybe Tillman Fertitta for no reason in particular, is like a mad shithead. But like, sometimes it feels like the owners are just like there and it doesn't really, they don't really care. And it really feels like Jeannie cares.
Second satisfying storyline, the, triumph of Frank Vogel coach over coach in waiting, Jason Kidd.
Frank Vogel, it's so easy for him to root for him. It's so easy to root for him.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy.
I have been worried the whole season since last off season that it was a, if Frank Vogel doesn't succeed, then it's a Jason Kidd is being groomed to take his place. Jason Kidd is not a person I want coaching this team. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think when Frank Vogel was hired, I did think that he was a great hire because he's from the nerd coach world, and also that his emphasis on defense, which completely paid off in this playoffs.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That, like, the defensive performance that the Lakers put on in game six was kind of terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, they, I don't know, just the way that they stopped Miami from doing pretty much anything the entire game. That was nuts.
Yeah, they had Miami never looked in rhythm, in a good rhythm, really. Now, I do think that Bam was hurt by his injury. He was definitely not 100%. He didn't look as confident as he did in the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know when he had to face a defender like Anthony Davis with such regularity. Also, Anthony Davis being comfortable playing the five in this game. Vogel started Caruso over Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
So I know that they've always said Anthony Davis doesn't like to play five. He wants to play four, but it seemed to pay off in this game.
100%. Because what a matchup, for Alex Caruso to get in there and just muck everything up on the defensive end. He really, he had a good defensive game. There was a little bit at first where it felt like he missed a couple of assignments.
Yeah.
But then he really locked it down, and he played such great offensive ball, setting screens. Like, he set a screen assist for a three-pointer that Markieff Morris shot where Tyler Herro wasn't paying attention, that made sure that Markieff Morris was open. He had five assists in the game, and I think that shows how willing he was to keep the ball moving because, you know, he shot 2 for 7. He's not an offensive guy, but he's going to try his best to do that. I was so happy.
He did try to throw down a yam in the fourth quarter that didn't go down.
Just slightly missed it. And I'm always there for the yams.
Yeah, I'm there for the Caruso yams. I'm not there for the Kuzma yams.
You are so ready to take Kyle Kuzma out to the garbage and leave him for someone else.
By the way, as is Laker Nation.
Everybody's done with Kuz? The 2 points in the clincher doesn't do it for you?
He just does not look good on the court with the rest of this team. He doesn't look good on the court. He looks worse on the court than he did a year ago to me. I don't know. I'm curious actually what his playoff stats were, but they were not. I don't know. I don't know what he brought to the team. To me, it was always a liability when he was on the court because he's not a strong defender. Mm-hmm. And he's also not a smart defender. So
no.
It was a combination of he's a liability sort of one-on-one. He's not great defender one-on-one, but he's even worse, like help, close out.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Not great. But anyway, it doesn't matter because they won the championship.
They won, baby.
Lots of people online angry that Kyle Kuzma is getting a ring before Jason Tatum and other players.
Well, if they didn't want that to happen, they should have made it not happen. Fuck them. Who gives a shit? Let's go Lakers.
It was a great, I don't know. It was kind of great. I kind of wish they had won it in game five because it was such a great close fought finals game.
Yeah.
But I did feel much more comfortable watching this game because after the mid second quarter, it was never really like I was not very stressed watching this game the way that I was game five.
Yeah, it makes total sense. It's funny, this game it was out of hand in the second quarter, and mm-hmm. so it was just like a parade to see who could it felt like it was a parade to see who could make the best jokes on Twitter for the entirety of the game.
I didn't go on Twitter at all because I didn't want to jinx it in any way. In fact, actually, I did math a little bit wrong at the halftime. I was like, I don't know why. I just sort of during halftime, I was like, oh, they're up 18. That's not that much. And then as halftime was ending, I was like, oh, no, they're up 28.
Yeah.
And even so, we got a little scare at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. To me,
that at the end of the third quarter, they were up by 29.
Somewhere in the fourth,
12 minutes of even basketball.
Whenever Kuzma missed that dunk, I was like, please don't let this happen. Because I will say that in the fourth quarter, the Lakers defense got very, very garbage timey.
Oh, yeah. It was as bad as it was for most of game five.
And that's when Bam Adebayo scored like 12 points or something. Like he had a lot of. They just like let him dunk it by himself. And that's when it was when Kuzma and Markieff Morris came back in and like immediately fucked up like three possessions in a row.
Yeah.
And then Markieff Morris was immediately pulled. And then that when Kuzma missed that dunk, Lakers Twitter went crazy.
Yeah.
I did look for that. Because I was just kind of like, everybody's seeing what I'm seeing, right? He's unnecessarily causing, you know, what should have been a great, almost full quarter of Jared Dudley, Quinn Cook, you know, Solomon Hill basketball.
Yeah. But LeBron wanted to play. Like, get them out of the game, but also LeBron wasn't going to leave the game until it was like, oh, this is over. So not worried about that.
Shout out to Solomon Hill for making a three-pointer near the end of the game.
Hey, congrats to him, man. Shout outs to Dwight Howard for his three-pointer at the end of the game.
Oh, did he make one?
He did. That was the last basket the Lakers scored.
You know what's funny is my feed went out. The ABC streaming feed is literally like a full minute of game time behind the NBA.com box score. And so and then it actually went out because in the ABC streaming program guide, it was shifting from you know, the program Lakers versus Heat to the program Slam Dunk, the finals. So, and I didn't realize, according to the ABC DVR, it was over.
Oh.
And didn't automatically like flow to the next program.
That sucks. That's why you got to watch it on ESPN3.
Ah.
And that way it'll flow over. Sling doesn't flow you over either. It's very dumb.
You know, a fun, odd celebration, I thought, because there was no one there.
Yes.
So it had the an unusual feeling of hearing more of the players than you normally do.
Yeah.
Hearing a lot of them off mic talking to the person that was on the mic.
Hated it.
In a way that you never would in Staples Center if everyone's going crazy.
All. I mean, you know, I don't know. What are we supposed to do here? It bums me out because I wanted it to feel like a finals victory that was like there. We were like absolutely in on it. But
yeah, I feel like I'm happy the Lakers won, but I don't feel the energy from the winning of the ring the way that I have in previous ones.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
I think that the crowd in the stadium, in the arena, serves as a proxy for you in a way.
Yeah.
To feel them going crazy is a way for you to like kind of feel that too. And this felt like everybody was happy. But really no one had that extra surge of energy of being surrounded by whatever many Staples Center holds.
Yeah.
Also another return to a classic, the Los Angeles fireworks.
Cause I can't hear them up here in the Valley. Are they rolling in the city?
They've been going not too much, but like right afterwards, I walked out to the kitchen. I was watching on my computer, watching the kitchen, And I just told Eric, well, you can guess who won based on the fact that there's fireworks going off in our neighborhood right now.
Everybody loves game sevens, that they exist. That's what's happening here.
Right.
I have a stat for you.
Okay.
Okay. LeBron James has been to the NBA Finals 10 times now.
Yes.
He is 4-6.
Yes.
LeBron James has scored in single digits in the NBA 10 times.
Okay.
Including playoffs.
Like all of the games he's ever been in?
All of the games he's ever been in, he has scored in single digits 10 times.
That's pretty crazy.
Right? So he's been to the finals as many times as he's had single-digit scoring games.
Yeah. I think they said that he's been in like 55 finals games or something.
Something like that. And he's still not leading the historical data in that because the Celtics played in 9 finals in a row back when there were 4 NBA teams.
Yes. I feel that the Celtics franchise has gotten a big boost from that period.
Huge boost.
So are we going to have a parade at some point? Virtual parade?
I don't know. Yeah.
I think we should.
I feel bad going anywhere. So, no parade.
By the way,
we'll get a parade next time. We'll be even longer.
I spoke to this weekend, I want to say 10 to 15 friends of mine in around the country. Just, I was on a little kick of just checking in to see how people are doing. Mm-hmm. More than half of those people said things like, oh, well, Friday night we went over, my friend had a birthday party. Or, I went out to a bar and we stayed out there till, I'm a little hungover there. I stayed out till 2 or 3 in the morning. What are people doing? If you're listening to this, stop, cut that shit out. We don't want another NBA. I mean, the NBA bubble is great. Let's just make it a one-time, one-off thing.
Yeah.
Agreed. Because I do think that the actual quality of basketball that we saw was very high in the bubble.
Very good. Very good.
But there is something missing. Let's not have this again.
Yeah. Vote for Joe Biden. Vote for progressive candidates in your local elections.
I've already voted.
Vote for public defenders, for your judges, all that jazz. And stay at home and don't go anywhere until 2021. Sorry.
I got a couple questions for you. Why are the Warriors trending on Twitter?
Oh, because they're number one. They're great. Everybody loves the Warriors. No, because they're complaining. They suck. Eat shit. Go Lakers. I mean, I have no ability to be objective for the next day or so.
Okay, the other question is why I think I know the answer to this, but I think you'd just be amused by the fact that the Los Angeles Clippers are trending.
Well, it's because, hey, anytime somebody in your city wins a championship, you got to be happy. That's what it is, right? Like, you root for the team from your city, and the team from Los Angeles Clippers City is the Lakers.
And finally, for some reason, Dwight is trending. The word Dwight.
Because Dwight got a chip.
He got a chip. And you know, he made a significant contribution. I actually don't think that Dwight and Rondo were ring chasers. I mean, that might have been the motivation for them joining this team, but you really, to me, ring chasing is like...
you don't actually do anything.
Yeah, I think Mitch Richmond got a ring at one point, mm-hmm. maybe. Steve Nash technically has one through the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people accused Karl Malone and Gary Payton and... Samaki Walker of doing no, not Samaki Walker.
Sun Yue.
But I think Dwight Howard and Rajon Rondo actually had like significant. You could definitely argue that they would not have gotten to the finals without some contributions from those two players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dwight was key in the Denver series, and Rajon was key as soon as he got back. Minus that first game when everyone was like, "We hate him and we want him to die."
I don't know what happened to Rajon Rondo's 3-point shooting.
I do. It got better. It got better.
But how? When? Where? Why? What?
Fuck, man. You just, you know, honestly, it's just a fucking, a fucking hot streak.
Perhaps Rajon Rondo and Danny Green bought some of those realistic Halloween masks and switched places.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
I was happy to see Danny Green hit a couple of three pointers in this game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we aren't really going to remember how bad that shot was at the end of, like, we're not really going to remember that or Markieff Morris's pass.
No, but you know what I will remember?
What's
that? Danny Green pregame shouting out Armenia.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Hell yes. No, because here's the thing. Nobody in LA is a bigger fan of the Lakers than the Armenian diaspora.
Ah.
Right. Like
Glendale Americana represent.
Exactly. I mean, truly, exactly. Like, the Armenians are the biggest Lakers fans out of anybody. It's just the truth. And this win is for Armenia. That's what I'm saying right here.
Good. I have no thoughts about the Armenian presence in Los Angeles. I know people have opinions about them, but I don't know anything about them, and I just noticed them in Glendale. That's all.
I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and we had an Armenian pastor. Uh-huh. And so our church, we had a lot of Armenian families. So I grew up with a lot of Armenians, and just every single one of those dudes was just the biggest Lakers fan.
Interesting.
Just like so fun to watch basketball with like Armenians who love basketball.
I am a little disappointed because of the lockdown that we're not really going to get that city celebration vibe.
Yeah.
That is disappointing.
Yeah. You know, there will be a time. There's no wrong time to celebrate a championship.
Yes, I agree with that. But we're not going to have the thing where over the next week you have your Lakers hat on and everybody that has one on is your friend.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, and actually, I've never experienced that in Los Angeles because I haven't been here for 10 years. So I've experienced that actually because the Lakers is like an international brand.
Oh yeah.
I would like wear my Lakers shirt the next day after they win a championship. And you know, other people are Lakers fans,
yeah.
But you have experienced that like living here.
Yeah, I have.
And so that's a shame that we're not going to have that this time around.
Well, yeah, I mean, I experienced it living here for the Shaq and Kobe stuff. I mean, I was young. So like, it was like high school for me, for them. And then the Kobe and actually it wasn't even high school. It was before high school for me. Some of them were high school. Anyways, then in college when I was in San Diego.
The Kobe and Sasha years.
Yes. the Sasha years. Yeah, because Kobe and Powell and Lamar and Andrew Bynum. In San Diego, that's also a Lakers town. Like if you're down there in San Diego, everybody's a Lakers fan. It's just
so no one, no one's a leftover Clippers fan.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, they were the San Diego Clippers.
Oh yeah, for how many years were they the San Diego Clippers for? This is like less than three.
Really?
Yeah, it was not long.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Did they start there, or they moved from some other city?
Were they renamed? Okay, sorry. It was 6 years that they were the San Diego Clippers. They moved from Buffalo to San Diego.
They're the Buffalo Braves. Buffalo Braves are the team that switched ownership with the Celtics, I believe.
That's so funny.
They were just like, now you own the Braves and now you own the Celtics because they wanted to both get rid of their teams or something. And they're just like, okay, well, now I'm the owner of this other team.
Yep.
I did not know that. So, by the way, I fully support. Well, now I'm going to cut you. I was going to say, generally, I support Lakers teams changing names when they change cities. But then again, I root for the Lakers. So,
and also you root for LeBron James. He didn't change his name when he went anywhere.
Yeah.
So see,
he didn't.
No, he That's kept true. His name. He's still LeBron James.
Well, I posted a photo of LeBron James on my Twitter tonight. So that's a huge change for me.
Yeah. Look how far we've come.
Yeah.
Look at us. All right. Just two guys started a podcast in a garage. after a game where Kyle Kuzma scored a shit ton of points and beat the Boston Celtics.
This podcast has basically chronicled the fall of Kyle Kuzma.
Because he was so good that year,
yeah,
for such a shit team.
And you were on board with LeBron from the beginning.
Oh yeah, I mean, I mean, I'm just gonna say, I'm not an idiot. I love LeBron James.
Yeah. So we'll probably take a little bit of a break from the podcast.
Yeah.
But we do have lottery to talk about.
Got some lottery draft. To talk about. I want to do a real rundown on, you know, favorite moments from the bubble, all that kind of stuff. But
and also what teams want to do in the off season and
yeah. So, you know, we'll probably take a couple of weeks off and come back recharged, ready to roll, and get you some basketball analysis while the league sleeps, takes a well deserved rest.
I mean, normally we'd be talking about preseason like very soon.
Yeah.
But actually, so we talked about it previously. I think like the distance between this and whatever they propose the next season starting is probably going to be about the same. But it feels like it's going to be compressed in terms of suddenly having to talk about lottery. Are they doing a virtual combine? Is that what they did?
Virtual combine.
Which means that you and I could submit.
Oh yeah,
self tapes for the combine.
Here's the problem though: is that you actually are not allowed to draft people over a certain age.
Is that true?
Yep, I think it's like 26. That's why the 10 guy in Gumbo pick was invalidated.
You mean if you're over 26, you just have to be signed?
Yep.
So we should send our tapes directly to Rob Pelinka.
Yes. Hey Rob, check us out, man. We're ready to roll. We love it.
Well, I can't do anything about any of that because the rims at my local basketball court have been taken off.
Oh, that's where you got to get one of those Fisher Price basketball hoops.
Uh-huh.
Just start draining threes.
Yeah, my local court has turned into a soccer field, soccer court.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So then we've got draft and off-season needs and that kind of stuff. My hope for the off-season is that we get to a place that opening night of the next season, it probably still won't be fully attended, is my guess.
No, there's really no way. Because, let's say 10, 11, 12. If we start, around Martin Luther King, that's, 3.5 months.
Yeah.
That's still not that's 3 months exactly. That's not because normally an off season for a team that won the championship is going to be 4 months or so, 4.5 months. So it's not the same, but it's similar.
I would hope that if we can just get to a place where next year's playoffs are in 75% attended arenas, that would be my goal.
Yeah.
That's if it's pushing them back to June, starting in June or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, last question I have for you. Whose jersey are you wearing?
Oh, this is a Jeremy Lin. I have made it a point of wearing either jerseys of players who are currently on the team or jerseys of players that were formerly on the team or jerseys of teams we have vanquished in the postseason this year. Ah. And so this is both. This is Jeremy Lin, former Laker. We did it for Jeremy Lin. And we also beat Houston. So,
by the way, at times this postseason, I was like, you know, it'd be good to have on this team.
Jeremy Lin. Yeah, he would have been great. And then he would have been able to win two championships in a row, just like Danny Green.
That's right. All right, Casey, we did it. I think we were pretty key to the winning of the ring this year.
Yeah, feel real good about it. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for being there and having fun. Go Lakers. I mean, I'm just so happy right now. This is great.
Yeah. And you know what? Over the offseason, we will try to get some guests on to talk about their favorite teams and what they want them to do.
We love it.
Trades and acquisitions and all that stuff. And Casey and I will think about how to get Joe Harris on the team and get rid of Kyle Kuzma. All right. We'll see you next time.
Catch you later.